in four, ages 4 through 2nd grade are invited to go with Mr. Warren to the back for a time of Bible study. My name is Matt Loris. I'm the church planting pastor here. Thanks for joining us. We are in the middle of a sermon series, and we are in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. So invite you to grab a copy of God's Word, yours if you brought it. There's others that are on the seats. It's also written for you in the bulletin. But I'm going to pray, and we're going through the Beatitudes one by one. So the reading is not going to last long, not half as long as Psalm 73. I'm going to read, or I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read and talk about it together. So this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Praise be God.
Lord Jesus, would you help us as we come before your word? We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So because this is the only place in the New Testament where this exact phrase is used, there's a number of exegetical questions that surround this one sentence. So I'm not going to go into all of those today. If you want to talk about those at another point, I would love to talk with you about them. But I want to focus on three things out of this passage, out of this one sentence. God cares about the inside. There's a promise for those who are changed on the inside, and that God can change us on the inside. So those three things we're going to talk about today. First, God cares about the inside. Now, we recognize in contemporary speech that we use the word heart in two different ways, right? We speak of it as the muscle that's inside our body that pumps blood through our veins that keeps us alive. And so that's one way we speak of heart, but we also speak of it in another way. We use it to basically talk about our emotional life. And we would say, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And at that point, we're not talking about the physical that's inside of us. We're talking about something else. And biblically, this word that's translated in our passage is the Greek word cardia. And cardia means, it doesn't mean a physical heart. And it actually means more than just your emotional life. So this is important to understand. Biblically, this word cardia actually means the center of who you are, the core of who you are, the inside of who you are as opposed to the outside. And so it includes your emotional life, but it's more than that. It's your cardia, your heart, is the place from which your will comes out and your thinking comes out and your emotions come out. It's all of those things sort of wrapped into one word. It's important to know and understand. It's our thoughts, our emotions, and our will all rolled into one. And so what this passage shows us is that God is interested in our insides. He's interested in our core. He's interested in not just what we do, but in who we are at the center of our lives. And that's clear in Matthew 23. We'll talk about this later as we continue to go through Matthew. One day we'll get to this. But in 23:25 it says this, Jesus, woe to you, this is Jesus speaking, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. So Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, and he's saying, you're worried about the outside, you're worried about the externals, but I'm concerned about the inside. And inside, while you might look good on the outside, inside you are filthy. And it just as an illustration, be thinking about how foolish it would be if we had spaghetti in a Tupperware container and we put the top on it and then we put it through the dishwasher. And we took it out after it had gone through the cycle and we said, man, that Tupperware looks clean. And we put it up on our shelf. And, you know, what would happen a week later when we went to use it? It would have gotten worse, right? I mean, and that's what Jesus is saying to these folks. He's saying, your outside might look good. Your outside might be washed. You might be able to fool the people that are just looking on the outside, but inside you are incredibly dirty and getting worse. Jesus cares about us on the inside. We see this illustrated in 1 Samuel 16. This is God speaking to Samuel, and he's going to find the new leader of Israel. And there are different folks who are coming out, and one of them is David's brother. And God says this to Samuel in verse 7, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature." This is talking about David's brother. "Because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." 1 Samuel 16, 7. You might be here today and you might feel like you don't belong at church. There's something about the externals of this place that feel a little off-putting or a little weird, or you think, I don't have the right clothes, or I didn't know what to wear, or my hair's not right, or there's something about this that just doesn't feel right. I want you to hear me on this. If you feel that way, you are not in the wrong place. That as God looks down on this room, on this group of people, He is not looking at what people are wearing. He's not concerned about the mode of transportation, how you got here. He's not concerned with vocation. He's not impressed by anybody's bank account. And He is not impressed by physical appearance. As He looks down on this room, He sees each and every one of us, not just externally, but internally. At the core, at the cardia, at the heart level, God is looking down. And so if you're here and you're feeling that there's something about the externals that you don't have, that you don't bring to the table, I want you to know that's not what it's about. That's not what God is about. That's not what this church is about. This place is seeking to foster and to be a healthy place for you to come and to grow in Jesus, because He cares about purity at a core level, purity of heart. He cares about the inside. That's point one. Point two is this: there's a promise for those who are changed on the inside. There's a promise for those who are changed on the inside. Did you know that you were made for a relationship with God? That's what you were made for. We see in Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve in perfect relationship with God. And then a disaster happens in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve seek to replace God, to seek to replace His authority. And what happens is they sin against Him, and they get expelled. They're no longer allowed to be in His presence. And it's this awful picture of them leaving the Garden of Eden and not being allowed back in. As you read through the Old Testament, you see that God doesn't give up on His people, that He actually shows up in fits and starts, in shadows, in small ways, but He continues to pursue and He continues to show up in some ways. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses at the burning bush, he appears at points as a cloud. Sometimes His glory fills the temple. Not the face-to-face stuff anymore, but just these little glimpses, little peaks of God's presence, of fellowship with His people. And in Exodus 33:20, Moses asks to see God. You remember this? He says, "God, show me Your glory." And what does God say back? He says, "No." That's a surprising answer to us. We would think, why would God not want to show His glory? This is what it says, Exodus 33:20. "You may not see My face, for no one may see My face and live." God is telling Moses, there's still a sin problem here. I'm a holy God, and you're a sinful man. And therefore, we cannot be in fellowship like I was with Adam and Eve in the garden. We cannot walk about in the cool of day. You cannot see Me face to face. And so He ends up passing by and just letting Moses see His backside. But He says, "No, I will not see you face to face." What do you aspire to in life? What are the things that you dream of that you get excited about? Maybe one day a job that you really love, that's both it fills your bank account and it's vocationally fulfilling. Maybe it's getting married. Maybe it's having a child. Maybe it's having a second child. Maybe it's being able to afford to go on vacation sometime, or a vacation that you really like. Maybe it's having friends that know you well and love you well. There are all sorts of things that we aspire to, good things that we should aspire to. But I want you to hear me this morning, or this afternoon, whatever your aspirations are, whatever the things are that you're working towards, whatever the things that you dream of, they pale in comparison to seeing God. They pale in comparison to the promise that's given in this sentence. They pale in comparison to seeing God face to face. What does this verse say? Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will get rich quickly. No. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will have vocational success. No. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will have the ideal family life. No. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will have a stress-free life. No. All of those things are debunked in Psalm 73 that we read earlier. You know, the promise is not for this perfect life. What does the verse say? It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Your greatest need and your greatest desire is to see God, to have unadulterated access to Him, to have that return to the Garden of Eden where He looks at you in the face and you look back at Him, to experience that kind of life without sin for eternity is what you are made for, even if you don't know it, even if you don't express it. Now, The sex trade is alive and well in Richmond, Virginia. And that's attested to by the fact that this past week there were 34 arrests made in a prostitution sting, if you saw that, including one right here on the corner, Bellevue and Chamberlain Avenue. And the reality is that people are looking for God everywhere. That's what G.K. Chesterton said. He said this, and I quote, every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. Every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. Chesterton is saying we're all searching for God, even if we don't know it. And why is that the case? Because that's what we were made for. We were made for God. We were made to be in right relationship with Him, like the Garden of Eden. So what we all most want, God promises to give to the pure in heart. What we all most need, God promises to give to the pure in heart. The promise that you could see Him, that you could be face to face with Him, that you could be in that kind of relationship with Him. Because the Bible teaches that once you have been purified at the heart level, you will have fellowship with God. Fellowship that begins at that moment, that begins now on this side of your death or Jesus' return. And fellowship that begins a relationship with Him, that you begin to see Him through the Word, through prayer, through fellowship, through His creation, through His providence. You begin to experience God and see Him in ways that you didn't before. And then, after His second coming, after when the dead have risen and those who know Him are with Him, you experience Him in fullness. You experience Him face to face. Now, that sounds like I could be making it up, but it's actually just 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says this, for we, talking of Christians, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So Christians long for a day where faith gives way to sight, a day where we can see God face to face again, a day when full reunion takes place. Now, quick story. I saw a blog probably a month ago now, but it started with a picture. And the picture was a guy who's about my age with a son, which is about my son's age, and that guy's dad. And then there was a blog post underneath the picture, and it just said, just a picture of my dad, dot, dot, dot. And in the blog, the guy went on to explain that he'd actually grown up without his dad in a lot of ways, that his mom and his dad had a really rough time, had eventually got divorced, that there'd been estrangement, there'd been attempts at reconciliation that hadn't gone well, and sort of went through this whole story. And at the end, and what by the end you realize this relatively normal picture of just a guy with a son, with a dad, it seems absolutely normal. And he wrote, just a picture of my dad. And by the end you realize that normal picture wasn't normal at all. That there was a tremendous amount of things that had happened to bring that normal picture to reality. That there was a story of great estrangement there. And that picture represented great reunion. So the picture was the fruit of the reunion that had taken place between the 30-something and his dad. And you, after reading the post, you just look back up at the picture and it means so much more. Friends, Christians are looking forward to a similar reunion with God, with their Father, a day when the estrangement and the distance will be over, will be done away with, and it will be gloriously normal to be in God's full presence. Gloriously normal to be in God's full presence when the estrangement is over. Now, some of you might be here and you're thinking, well, that sounds good. That sounds nice. I would like to be with God in that kind of way. I'd like for it to be gloriously normal. But if there's one thing I know about myself, it's that I'm not pure. And I'm surely not pure in the inside. And so if you're here and you're feeling that way, then I have good news. And it's point three. It's that you can change on the inside. You can change from the inside. And how does that happen? Well, not by you trying harder, not by your external rule keeping, not by putting the Tupperware through the dishwasher one more time, but it happens as God works. How do hearts change? God changes hearts. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 is a passage that's significant to the scriptures, significant to the new covenant. I'm going to read a bit of it. This is Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Listen for God's activity. Verse 25, this is God speaking, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now, we'll talk a lot more about this verse in other sermons because it's such a significant verse. But the reality is, all I want you to see right now is that you can't change yourself, but that God can, that God changes, that God can cleanse, and that God gives His Holy Spirit, and it changes you from the inside out. Now, it's not a superficial kind of change, but a change at the heart level. Are you tired of trying to change yourself? Are you tired of seeking to do something better, to look better to other people, to feel better about yourself, and yet you know at your core you're still absolutely dirty? Well, turn to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It says turn to Him in repentance and faith. Turn to Him and say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I recognize I'm dirty, and not just because I do a few dirty things, but I'm dirty on the inside, and I can't fix myself. I can't clean myself. I need you to cleanse me. I need that Ezekiel 36 kind of thing to happen in my life. I need your spirit to come into me. I need you to cleanse me. You've made me. You own me. And I'm sorry that I've lived for myself. I want to live for you. And as you do that, you know what happens? God responds to that prayer. And he gives his Holy Spirit and he counts you as cleansed. And then he begins to do something ridiculous. He actually begins to make you what he's declared you to be. He begins to make you more clean. He begins to work on you from the inside out. And as he's declared you to be holy, when you come to him, he begins to make you and change you more into his image and likness. That's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 spells out. It says this, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And that passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, is just saying that as you behold Jesus, as you look at him, as you see him, he changes you. He transforms you. That beholding him means becoming more like him. That's the link there in that passage. Beholding is becoming. Looking to him, seeing him, means you are changed by him. And he begins that process when you come to him in repentance and faith in the here and now. And he begins to change you. And you know how he ends up changing you? In the same way. When you see him face to face, he changes you completely and totally. That's what 1 John 3:2 says. I'll read it. It says this, "That we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is." This seeing of God, seeing of Jesus is so central to the Christian life that we'd see him in the here and now and be transformed by him bit by bit by bit. And then one day, when we see him face to face, we will be transformed completely. It'll be party time. It will be the no that Moses got will become a yes. For Moses and for everybody else who trusts in Jesus, yes to face-to-face relationship. Yes to walking with me in just a gloriously normal kind of way. Yes to all of that. Do you want to see God? Do you know what you were made for? If so, you need a purified heart. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the truths that you have chosen to reveal to us. And God, we're so thankful that you have continued to pursue your people. And that though we have rebelled, though we are sinful people, that you have continued to pursue, and that you allow us to come before you, and you allow us to experience you in the here and now, in ways and in small ways. And Father, we look forward to a day where being with you will be gloriously normal, where we would be transformed by your presence. And Father, we long for that day. Would you help us live in light of that day? Would you help us call others to live in light of that day? Lord, we need your Spirit to continue to work. Some of us need your Spirit to change us for the first time in the here and now. And a lot of us need your Spirit to continue to change us and continue to grow us. Would you help us behold you day by day that we could become more like you? And so, Father, we pray that you would do that work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.